Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shiphrah and Puah. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. "Why have you done this?" he demanded. "Why have you allowed the boys to live?" "The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women," the midwives replied. "They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time." So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: "Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live." Then Exodus chapter 2. About this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. "I will pay you for your help." So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." Verses 1 through 10, Exodus chapter 2. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the power, the wisdom, and the grace found within your word. Thank you, Father, for the clear counsel that your word gives us about every issue, every matter, every concern in life. Thank you for the truth that in direct statement or in principle, your word guides us and helps us to know your will about every issue, every matter, concern. Lord, you've also told us in one of the Ten Commandments, you shall not murder. And your word is so clear on this issue. Yet, sadly, we live in a world where there's so much deception around this issue as well. More and more open our eyes as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be boldly standing for life and standing against the tragedy of abortion. And help us to discern ways to help open people's eyes and hearts to see your word, your will, and your way with regards to the life issue. That every life is precious, every life is a gift, and we're to honor you within this matter. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for being the source of truth. And Father, thank you for not only being the source of truth, but for being the example of it. Father, you don't just tell us what is good. You don't just tell us what is right, but you enact it and you show us. Father, you say that there's no greater love than a man to lay down his life for his friend, and that's what you have done for us. So thank you so much, Father. And Father, thank you so much for giving us the Holy Spirit that can empower us and teach us and equip us to be more like you. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're honored to have in-studio guests today. But before we introduce our guests, I'm going to take time, as we often do, to share a discipleship article in a course we want to continue to remind you. Please do email us to get a copy of it. It's a tool for your personal discipleship and walk with the Lord, but also a tool for you to use in discipling your family, and also a tool to share with coworkers, fellow church members, extended family, saved and unsaved individuals, and that's one way to put your computer to work for the kingdom as a discipleship tool. Send it far and wide to others who can be blessed and encouraged by it. The title of this article is Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. And of course, with January being considered Sanctity of Human Life Month, again, we want to encourage you to prayerfully get more involved with the cause of standing for life. Seek to discern God's heart on this issue and find out what he's called you to do and where he would have you to be involved in this important cause. Again, the title of this article, Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 to 28. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Three unique stories of life, pregnancy, and motherhood are found in the Word of God under very unique and interesting circumstances. Hannah, Elizabeth, and Mary were three women from the Old and New Testaments of the Bible who each became mothers through unique circumstances. The story of Hannah is found in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. Hannah was a young wife who had a great desire to be the mother of a little boy. She was barren until after praying and committing her son to the Lord. The Lord blessed her to conceive and birth a son. Elizabeth's story is found in Luke chapter 1. Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah had prayed for a child for a long time, and after many years, the Lord blessed them with a son. When she did become pregnant, it was at an age that people would clearly consider her pregnancy as miraculous. Mary was a young virgin who was betrothed to a man named Joseph. Her story is found largely in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Yet before the consummation of their marriage, the angel of the Lord appeared to her and announced that she would be the mother of the Messiah. She was soon found to be with child by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit of God before she was married. In Luke chapter 1, Mary responded by giving God great praise and thanksgiving for the blessing and honor of the responsibility. There were other women in Scripture who longed to be mothers or treasured being a mother: Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, to name a few. A question one might ask is this: why does any woman wish to be a mother? Mothers typically have to give so much of themselves to one or more children. They'll typically sacrifice much of their time, strength, and attention for them. Obviously, during pregnancy, there can be much discomfort, inconvenience, and sacrifice by the mother in order to see after the well-being of the baby. Her child during and after pregnancy will be the focus of much of her time and attention. And this may be true for around 18 years or so of her life, and of course, well beyond that as well. It seems that sacrificial giving of oneself is just part of being a mother. Interestingly though, Naomi in the book of Ruth speaks of her daughter-in-laws as finding, quote-unquote, rest each in the house of a husband. Well, since when does a mother find, quote-unquote, rest in her home with a husband and a number of children? It seems that Naomi is not so much talking about rest for her physical body. She's referring to rest as in a sense of fulfillment and contentment as a wife and mother of children. And there's definitely a sense of fulfillment for many women when they are blessed with certain gifts that only God can give. Some of those gifts are marriage, pregnancy, and motherhood. Without question, we see in God's Word that many women long to bear children, long to be mothers, and often desire to have an abundance of children. See Genesis chapters 29 and 30. Tragically, we live in a world and culture where many do not value these precious gifts from God. Sadly, some people don't seem to place much value on them at all. In fact, some people would say that pregnancy and motherhood are a burden and an inconvenience. People who support abortion will often have and encourage this kind of attitude. Abortion is a major tragedy that is at war with the reality of pregnancy and motherhood. It strikes against most everything that is life, including pregnancy and motherhood. It destroys pregnancy along with the baby, and sadly, sometimes physically, emotionally, and otherwise, it may also destroy the mother. Why would anyone be unwise enough to destroy that which God creates? There are so many women who long to be pregnant and to have a baby, but have not been able to. Certainly, there are many mothers who are mothers through adoption, which is certainly a wonderful thing. Becoming a mother through adoption is also a gift from God. As we take time to pray for and honor our mothers during the season of motherhood and beyond in our lives, let's take time to honor God, to honor the God who gave us mothers. And may we also recognize, honor, and cherish the gifts God has entrusted to them, life, pregnancy, and motherhood. And so again, if you'd like to get a copy of the article, simply email us. Again, the title of the article is Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. To get a copy, simply email me at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We are blessed and honored to have with us in studio. It's been a while, but once again, we are grateful to have Ann Cockrell and Kendra White. They're the hosts of the AFR broadcast, Hannah's Heart. Ann and Kendra, welcome to the Hour of Intercession.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Great to have you once again. And I know lots and lots of our listeners enjoy listening to Hannah's Heart, but there might be a few, just a few, that have never heard Hannah's Heart and don't know what its mission and goals are. Would you all tell our listeners about the broadcast and what its mission is?
So Hannah's Heart started, 3 years ago
yes.
now?
Yes, happy birthday, Hannah's
yeah.
Heart.
As a radio show podcast that focused on infertility and miscarriage, and that still is our mm-hmm. main focus and who we minister to, but it's definitely grown to cover more topics as adoption, foster care. We've covered singleness, mm-hmm. Child loss, just really when your life is turning out differently than what you pictured. We've had people on that have children with disabilities and what it's like, you know, raising a baby that you weren't expecting, you know, because of those disabilities. And so just how the Lord can meet you at your weakest mm-hmm. times. And if you let him, he can write a story way better than what we ever imagined.
Amen. Amen. Kendra?
Yeah, we, Ann and I both, that was our story. We both struggled with infertility and a miscarriage, and it was so lonely. And you didn't realize how many people are struggling with these issues. It's about one in three pregnancies nowadays that ends in miscarriage. And that's a lot. And a lot of women hold on to this grief and don't know where to go with it. And it feels like because it happened in the womb, so a lot of times early on, nobody ever knew about it. They feel almost guilty grieving and they don't understand why they're sad for so long. But we know as followers of Christ that that's a life and that's why you're hurting so much. And so we want to help couples to be able to process that grief. I think it's one in seven couples that struggle with infertility. So we want to be there to encourage people to cling to Christ through these difficult times.
Okay. So if someone wants to listen to Hannah's Heart, tell them when and how they can do that.
We are now on Tuesdays and then on Sundays at Saturdays at 5:30.
Okay. 5:30.
Central Standard Time. And you can also find us on the podcast page of mm-hmm. afr.net.
Okay.
We're also on YouTube and Facebook. And we just started airing on the weekends or on the weekdays on Tuesday nights.
So that's Tuesday evening.
I'm looking right now.
We just added a new showtime. We're so excited. We're expanding to have a new audience.
We haven't been told what time yet, so that's why we don't know.
Okay.
But we're about to be available on Tuesdays.
We'll find out soon then. But of course, on the weekends as well.
Yes.
And so we encourage you to tune in to Hannah's Heart. And also there, it's available on podcast as well with many wonderful programs. So we hope you'll tune in. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
What if it's gone? with a stranger who already knew your name. What if it's him? What if it's God speaking?
Mandisa with God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. It's our privilege to have as our in-studio guest today Ann Cockrell and Kendra White of the broadcast here on American Family Radio, Hannah's Heart. And Ann and Kendra, as we begin this segment, I'm going to ask if each of you would pray for our listeners to have ears to hear any and all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today.
Father, I come to you right now to thank you for this opportunity to be here and to talk about what we are talking about today, God, which is life, and life that is so sacred and so precious. And God, we thank you for that. Thank you for this program. I thank you for the listener family who's listening right now, God. I pray that you do open ears and hearts to what you have to say in this program, God. I pray that you use us. As we're talking about such an important topic, God, to show value in what we're speaking about. Because like Brother Joseph has said, the value is just being stripped away from life in so many cultures and areas of our world, God. And we're here to fight back, to fight back for life, Lord. And I pray that these listeners, that we can encourage them to fight back as well.
Mm-hmm. Father God, we live in a world that is led by emotion. The mantra is follow your heart, and yet your word says that the heart is deceptive and is deceitful, and it's we shouldn't follow our emotions, Lord. In our culture, it says that children are a burden, or it might say that maybe someone wants a child so badly they're willing to do things contrary to your word to get that desire. Lord, I pray that whoever is listening to this, you would help us to be led by your word and not by our emotions, that we would make every choice and decision grounded in the word of God, and that you would give us the courage and the strength to trust that you are enough for us, and that if we follow according to your ways, then you will direct our paths, and you will bring us joy and peace and hope and all of the things that, all of the fruits that come when we're connected to your spirit. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ann and Kendra. We were speaking earlier and talked about this fact that, you know, in life, typically a mother's sense of protection for her child is one of the most fierce connections in the world. Yet sadly, through the tragedy of abortion, we find that women actually become, in a sense, enemies to their babies. And what a sad reality. I want to ask if you all would share your perspective on that reality and why it's so important for mothers to be, of course, rooted in the Word of God to begin with in their approach to life, period, as well. So.
Well, Pastor Joseph, you opened with an incredible story from Exodus, which is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been thinking actually just this last week, my little daughter that I just had, Amelia, she's about to turn 3 months. And it says that Moses was about 3 months when his mom placed him in that basket. And I cannot imagine leaving a little three-month baby to trust God and a little sister to watch over. I have trouble leaving my daughter with my very competent husband for an hour or two, because I'm like, oh, don't, make sure she has everything she needs. As that that God-ordained desire to care for our children really is something that God put into us. But what's happened, I think, in our culture is that there are some lies that the enemy has whispered into the ears of women to make them devalue babies. And you even see that, I think, in the story that you read. You know, it starts off talking about that there was this new pharaoh in Egypt and he did not know Joseph and all of these things. And then there's this issue of overpopulation, that they think that the Israelites are multiplying too quickly. And they think that that's a problem because they're going to take over. So he enacts this rule to get rid of the babies based on this lie of overpopulation. And first of all, it's not even really, if anybody who studies genetics and or population growth knows mm-hmm. that if you want to shrink a population, you actually kill the girl babies. You don't kill the boy babies. That's mm-hmm. because, any farmer knows it only takes one rooster and you have lots of hens, mm-hmm. you know, to put it bluntly. But it takes a long time to grow a baby and mm-hmm. you have to have lots of ready wombs in order to grow a population. So the fact that the boys were the ones that were killed tells me that there is something different and sinister going on in the spiritual realm. And I believe that was a desire to snuff out Moses yeah. mm-hmm. because God had a very specific plan for Moses to lead these people out of Egypt. And, you know, really, it wasn't even just to kill Moses, but I think that the enemy was trying to kill Jesus.
Yeah.
From the very beginning of time, you know, we look at when Eve is in the garden and God puts enmity between her and the serpent. And mm-hmm. there's that promise that one of Eve's descendants is going to crush the serpent's head. So the devil hates women because he knows that it's through a woman that Jesus is going to come to save all of humanity. And so we did a series on Hannah's Heart of all of the women of the Bible that struggled with infertility. Every single one of them has a connection to Jesus. You've got, you know, we talked about all the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their wives, all three of them, their wives struggled with infertility. That's because this is the line through which Jesus was going to be born. John the Baptist's mama struggled with infertility. That's because he was supposed to prepare the way for Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, Samson's mama. You have Samuel who, you know, prophesied about Jesus and helped in anointing all the kings who Jesus came through those lines. So Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. He is life. So there has been an attack on life from the very beginning. And it's not just boy babies. It's all babies. He wants to snuff out all children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, scripture says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
The overpopulation issue, I just want to touch on that briefly. We did a recent issue in The Stand. The January issue is all related to the life issue. And if you haven't gotten it, I encourage you to connect to AFA and get a copy because Jeff Shambly wrote an amazing article. So there's this big lie that overpopulation again is happening and that women need to be responsible and not have children because there's too many mouths to feed in the world. And it's bogus. Mm-hmm. That's not how God views children. It's a made up problem, honestly.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And Jeff Shambly really goes into the roots of that and explains that. But that, I think, just ties into that lie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you just sharing some of those important insights. And, you know, I think it's powerful to really take time to stop and think and meditate on the two passages that we read, the story of Shipra and Pua, who were young women, apparently not married at that time, but clearly understood that it was wrong to take the life of an innocent baby. And this was before they ever had the Ten Commandments.
Mm.
Moses hadn't come along yet. The lawgiver hadn't, you know, was probably born right about that same time, and probably God used them to help save his life. But the fact is, they knew in their heart that mm-hmm. it was wrong to take the life of an innocent child. Yet sadly, we live in a world where people try to deny that truth, and we do have the Ten Commandments, yet people will still try to deny the fact that it's wrong to take the life of an innocent child. Mm-hmm. But powerful, too, in the commentary of the scripture is that after they stood up for the baby, see, like, in other words, Pharaoh gave them a clear directive, kill the baby boys. But it looks like scripture says they didn't hesitate. They weren't going to do it. They mm-hmm. knew it was wrong. And they probably knew not only were their jobs on the line, their lives possibly were on the line, but they weren't going to do it. And then how intimidating is a situation like that where they come before the king who's figured out they're not doing their job from his perspective. And he confronts them. And God in his grace gives them wisdom, grace, and ingenuity to outsmart the mighty Pharaoh.
That's right.
Basically, they kind of tell him, well, Pharaoh, these Hebrew women are so vigorous and strong, they just pop those babies out before we get there. What does Pharaoh know about birthing babies? Nothing
right.
upon nothing.
That's right.
And so he has to change his whole strategy because of Shipra and Pua. And they actually stand as wonderful role models for the people of God for all time because they boldly stood up for what they knew to be right.
Yeah.
In spite of the possible consequences. Mm. So they're good role models for every pastor and every other believer in the world. Stand on the truth no matter what. But also the commentaries clearly, God gave them families of their own, gave them husbands and wives as well. And it's an example of the scripture that says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness and all these things shall be added to you as well. So, but Anne, any thoughts that come to your mind, things that you wanted to share maybe in relation to either Shipra and Pua or Jochebed, the mother of Moses as well, that comes to mind?
Kind of how Kendra, you know, was saying, I can't imagine. I have a six-month-old at home and then two other babies at home, but I can't imagine being that mama and trusting the Lord that much to like, okay, like this is what I have to do to save my baby, you know, put him in this raging river in a basket. But then how the Lord has a sense of humor and he got that Pharaoh, you know, the princess to then say, hey, I need someone to feed this baby. And that sweet baby goes back to his mama. I just can't imagine that. We've fostered and have adopted through foster care my son now, Mark. And it could make me emotional thinking about it. But the thought, you know, of his mom, she lost rights to him because of life issues and her going through so much in her life that she probably needed help before she got to where she was, you know. But then the thought of the visits that he had to go to and me, you know, giving him over to the biological family week after week after week. And then finally, you know, those visits stopped and things like that. But like, I know how hard that was and not knowing what he was being exposed to at those visits. And I was not his mama at the time, legally, physically, nothing, but my heart was. You know, I knew I loved that baby and would give my life up for that baby then, you know. And so I can imagine, surrendering that. If people have followed along with Hannah's heart, they know that I buried a baby in 2023. I had my John Micah at 26 weeks. And I remember laying in the hospital bed just looking at him, and he already had fingerprints on his little tiny itty bitty fingers. And the longest eyelashes and just the sweetest little lips. And I just remember thinking, how do we call this a clump of cells? How do we do that? But, you know, America, we have so many different terms. Instead of just calling it a baby, instead of calling that little life, life, what do we? We have a zygote and cells and
fetus, just an
embryo, you know, all these kind of things. And no, that baby is life. And us as Christians, I want to go to battle to fight for those lives to be saved. And the statistics even show us that in America, if you put your baby up for adoption, your baby's going to be adopted, you know. And so there's no reason for abortion. There's just no reason for it. And
in fact, the studies of how many women struggle with infertility and how many children are currently in foster care ready to be adopted, like, it's a 1-to-1 ratio.
Right. Like everyone could be adopted. And the fact even that America has made it so hard to adopt and how much money it cost, you know, it almost feels like a losing battle before you even get started. But yet we also have people that think that our tax dollars need to go to funding abortions instead of funding adoptions, you know. And I might be getting off into a whole nother tangent, but
I'm sorry, I said that stat wrong. I got to correct myself. The ratio of babies being aborted to families wanting to adopt babies is a 1-to-1.
Yes. Okay. That is a 1-to-1 ratio. But from my experience, you know, seeing that baby, John Micah, at 26 weeks, it did make me think about the lives that are being chosen to be aborted early term or, you know, late term, that baby mattered. And, Each baby does matter, and so It just makes my heart go out to the women even more, though, to think that it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, thank you all just for sharing just a number of the different issues you've touched on. We're coming up on a break in a few moments, but on the other side of the break, I want to ask if each of you will pray for mothers, that mothers would get much more involved with the life issue in, well, the pro-life issue specifically. You know, of course, obviously, every mother's involved in life and the life issue, but specifically, in a sense, the loudest voice out there can be the voice of a Christian mother. And yet you have mothers on every side of the issue, some that are pro-life, but some that would consider themselves adamantly pro-choice as well. And so prayer for the mothers within the church to become much more involved, and many are involved, very much so, but there's so much more the church can do. So we'll pray about that as well. Father, thank you again for the opportunity we as your church have of being able to be involved in the life issue. More and more, Lord, help us as the church to have your heart, your desires, and your concerns. Help us, Lord, to recognize, Lord, that every baby is precious in your eyes, and every baby actually belongs to you first and foremost. Help us to become the advocates for life that you would have us to be as your church. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guests are Ann Cockrell and Kendra White of the AFR broadcast Hannah's Heart. We'll be right back. With All Praise Goes to You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guests today are Ann Cockrell and Kendra White of the AFR broadcast Hannah's Heart. And Ann and Kendra, I'm going to ask if we'll start off this segment, if you all would pray for mothers to become more involved with the pro-life cause in our culture.
Yes, Father God, I just thank you that I thank you for the way that you designed our bodies as women, that not only did you design us to be able to bear children, but also our bodies respond to children. We hear a child cry and it does something in our brain chemistry. There is a natural connection that we have for children, and that reflects your heart for us. Because when your children cry out to you, you respond and you listen to us. And God, I ask that any woman that is listening to this, Lord, that natural instinct to care for children would not just be warm fuzzies or something that when she sees a cute little newborn baby pops up, but that those emotions, I thank you that you gave us emotions for a reason, that those emotions would motivate us to make change in our culture and to stand up for righteousness. God, your word says that we are supposed to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, Lord, for the poor and desperate and desolate and those that are that in need. And nobody is more needy than a baby, especially one that's still in the womb. And what a dangerous place it is to be in our culture today. So I pray that you would equip women to know how to get involved, Lord, that it would be a burning fire underneath them, that they would not rest until they do something to stand for righteousness. And God, you are such a creative God. You can use them in so many creative ways, and maybe even conversations with other women who don't think biblically. Lord, I just ask that you would give them the courage of Shipra and Pua, Lord, to make a stand for righteousness, even if that means being publicly humiliated by other people, or just even in daily conversations, that they would have that courage.
Father, I come to you right now, God, to thank you for the women that are listening to this program right now, Lord. God, I pray for the woman who's listening who isn't a mama biologically, mm-hmm. physically yet, but that's desiring to be. I pray that you show her how to get involved right now with the Life Movement for Standing Up for Life. God, I pray that you just show her creative ways how she can get involved. And it seems like a hurtful thing to be involved in, possibly when you're sitting there desiring mm-hmm. your own baby. And we know that there's so many out there deciding on death for their mm-hmm. babies. God, that's a really hard thing to swallow and to talk about. And it kind of feels unfair when you're walking through infertility, but yet we know that people are choosing to end the lives of their babies, God. But I pray that you put this passion and desire mm-hmm. on her heart to help with this mm-hmm. movement, Lord. God, I pray for the mama who is a mama who's tired because she was up all night last night with a crying baby. God, I pray that you still show her that she's needed in mm-hmm. this movement, that she still has a voice and that her voice really matters right now. Mm-hmm. And to show her different ways that she can get involved, whether that's donating hand-me-downs or not use diapers to the clinic that's nearest her that would help out in these situations, or what her time can look like to help out for the Stand to Life movement. Mm-hmm. God, and I pray for the mama who might feel like her job is now done because there's no more kiddos in her home. And so she feels like, well, my job is done. Her job is not done. Mm-hmm. God, rather, you know, she's already potty trained hers and now they're potty training kids of their own. And so she doesn't feel like she's needed anymore. God, let her know she's needed. She's needed by her kids that she's already had. She's needed by her grandbabies. And she's needed mm-hmm. by these babies whose lives need to be saved. Mm-hmm. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity mm-hmm. to be here, God. And I thank you that we are all very passionate about what we can all do to stand for life. We love you. In your name I pray.
And Father, too, thank you, Father, for the opportunity you give us, all of us, again, to be able to be advocates who stand boldly for life, Lord. We thank you for all the moms that stand for life, the dads and the men, the women, the boys and the girls, Lord. Lord, I think in particular of the young mom who we interviewed a few months ago who has a 2-year-old yet has been sentenced to go to jail for standing outside an abortion clinic. Lord, she is a modern-day Shipra and Pua. Mm-hmm. Lord, help us to know, Lord, that whatever happens with her case, we're just believing, Lord, that she won't have to go to jail mm-hmm. because she was standing for righteousness. But again, still, she was your witness, mm-hmm. a bold witness that every believer all over the world can learn from because she was standing for your babies. Mm-hmm. And these are your babies. And Lord, stir the church to recognize, Lord, that again, our goal should be to have your heart and your will as it relates to the reality that we live in a culture that thinks it's okay to murder babies. Help us to never be content mm-hmm. until we do our part mm-hmm. to help cause the end of abortion in our culture. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part and help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see what you want us to hear and see and do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. 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 Well, again, Anne and Kendra, in this last segment, I want to ask if there's anything else that's on your mind or your heart that you'd like to share with our listeners, either about the mission and the message behind Anna's heart or about the life issue that you're wanting to share about today.
So Kendra brought up off air how we started last year. We hope it's an annual thing now. But in July, we did a Bibles for Baby campaign, for babies campaign. And that kind of might sound silly to some because you're like, what do you mean Bibles for babies? But we raised money for the local pregnancy center here in Tupelo, Mississippi. And they started this idea that every woman who came in and received a positive pregnancy test, that they would receive a Bible, a new beginner's Bible. If you can picture a children's Bible with, you know, good pictures in there and good colors. It's a really neat thing because they had someone after they began this, they had a lady to come in. She got a positive pregnancy test. They gave her a Bible. She went home. And they had an appointment scheduled for her to come back a few weeks later. But she came back the next day. And she said, I read through the entire Bible, which is the children's Bible. Mm-hmm. She said, and I want to be saved. How do you do that? Mm-hmm. And so that's where the idea, you know, when we heard that story, it was like, okay, we want to be able to provide some more of those Bibles. Because what better gift mm-hmm. for that new baby to get than God's holy word? And even though it's a Bible full of pictures and, you know, not many letters on each page because it's short stories, mm-hmm. but what better gift than to give, you know, than the book of life for this new precious life on the way.
Amen. And we wanted to challenge our listeners specifically yes. that if they've struggled with infertility or miscarriage, to give out of your place of hurt.
Yeah.
Yes, because there's some sort of healing thing that happens when there's another mama who maybe had an unexpected pregnancy yeah. and she's struggling. Her situation is different than yours. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes when we focus on the needs of others, it helps pull us out of just focusing on our own situation, and it provides a lot of healing. And Anne, you know, started this because that was the month that she lost her precious little John Micah, and in honor of him. And it was a beautiful way. We've had other moms that have lost babies that said, I want to donate a Bible for every baby that I have or every baby that I've lost, and do things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, is there, if someone's interested in maybe giving money or getting involved mm-hmm. when it does happen, is there a website or is there just a number they can call to learn more about getting involved with Bibles for Babies?
So during that time, we had a page that they could go to specifically from AFA. So you'd go to afa.net and it would come up as that homepage. Okay. That isn't available right now, but during that month of July, it'll be available again. And then they can call in to AFA and say, I want to donate. And for the specific calls. And so that would go in. And then we raised a little over $7,000 for our pregnancy center here. And so mm-hmm. that bought a lot of Bibles.
Yeah. And in the meantime, if anybody wants to reach out to us, maybe yes. that you want to help start this campaign in your community and help us get the word out, you can email us at hannahsheart@afa.net.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you then. Well, I'm going to see if Hannah's Heart will help with us with our pregnancy clinic doing
nice.
The same thing.
I love it. Let's do it.
You know, something that you all touched on through that's so powerful for believers to be mindful of is that a lot of evangelism happens through the ministry of pregnancy clinics. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people yeah. don't realize that. But yeah. one of the issues is people find themselves at a very vulnerable place when they find themselves expecting a baby at a difficult time. And so I think of this, Miss Nancy Pennington, which is a precious lady who's been the director of the pregnancy clinic in in Clarksdale, Mississippi, for more than 20 years. But she said that they've seen at least 500 people get saved over the period of years through their pregnancy clinic.
Wow.
And so that's a wonderful reminder that it's a no-brainer for the church to get much more involved mm-hmm, in the work of supporting and working with pregnancy clinics. That should be a given then. So our time is just about gone. Would you all one more time, Anne and Kendra, tell our listeners if they want to hear Hannah's Heart, tell them how to hear Hannah's Heart.
We are trying to be all of the places. So we're a podcast page. We also have a Facebook. So we're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. You can go to AFR.net and it has all of our past shows. We have a lot of listeners that say they like to binge listen to Hannah's Heart. But we air on the weekends on Saturday on AFR at 5 o'clock Central Standard Time. And then we will soon be starting to air, yet to be decided, on Tuesday evenings.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So again, go to AFR.net and click on podcast and find Hannah's Heart, and you can listen to any and everyone that's listening can become a binge listener to Hannah's Heart. Then. So praise the Lord. So thank you again, Ann and Kendra, for the work you do, and keep up the great work, okay?
Thank you.
As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a wonderful day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, simply pray this prayer with me and commit your heart and life to the Lord and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? Again, simply pray this prayer with us. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to seek you in prayer daily. And help me to live what I learn daily. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. I want to mention once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please do get in touch. Once again, that email, joseph@afr.net. And also, if you'd like to happen to get a copy of the article that we share, the title of the article, Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Thank you again, Ann and Kendra, for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
All right. And please pray much for the great work and ministry behind the broadcast, Hannah's Heart, here on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.